This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In. I am your host, Layla Mutin, here on Intelligent Medicine. It's the end of December. You've gotten through your holidays, hopefully without much consequence to your waistline, right? But I hope you had wonderful holidays with loved ones and happy times. That's what they're for. And we are about to start a new year. And may it be a prosperous one for you, a successful one, a brave one, and a happy one, a joyful one. And as you know, in the new year, all the various diet books will be coming out, all the various diets will be rated, so forth and so on. And we will be critiquing some of those as well here on Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Hoffman and I all, you know, often talk about the various diets, the pros and cons, what works for whom, or what type of metabolic risk profile, and all of that. And of course, everybody at the beginning of the year has New Year's resolutions, right? And it's always to embark on a healthier lifestyle. Maybe you want to lose a few pounds. Maybe you want to get your biochemistries a little better, all of that kind of thing. Once and for all, right? Maybe once and for all, you want to get all this right. So the gym memberships will start. Gyms everywhere all over the country have got to love the new year. That's probably where they get a big surge in enrollments. May I remind you to, yes, absolutely be gung-ho. Be also patient with yourself, but embark on it as a measure, as a change to your lifestyle that you can then maintain for the rest of your life. When you're able to do that for the rest of your life and make it something, approach it, reframe it from a place of self-nurture and nourishment and doing good for you, good for your body, good for your mind. And both diet and exercise are good for your body and good for your mind, because we know how nutrition and exercise impacts mood, whether for better or for worse. If you reframe it that way and take very gentle, good care of yourself, reframe it that way, my hope is that you will not miss so many of the indulgences that have maybe been problematic for you in the past. We are human beings. We are prone to all of that. But if you reframe it differently, you can plan for any overindulgences. If you remember my article about keeping a carbohydrate budget, maybe I'll have to revive that article now that I'm thinking about it. You stay on your very good diet, your exercise program, and you're on your way to good health, or you've achieved good health, you've achieved the weight you desire, that you are healthy at, and you can plan for those indulgences. That's what I mean by keeping a carbohydrate budget. You can plan your cheats. That's what I mean. In the very simplest way to say it, plan your cheats. That way you can look forward to them, enjoy them, and get back on program. And I think that's a terrific way to live. Because that way, that overindulgence is planned for, that treat, that dessert, whatever that is for you, is planned for, and then you can manage it well and look forward to it and enjoy it and savor it and be healthy because you're maintaining this budget, this carbohydrate budget, if you will, on how to do all of that for yourself. I want this to be easy. I want it to be easy for all of us to be able to make these changes, whether we're starting with small changes or starting with great big ones like embarking on an exercise program when you were never really exercising before. Check in with your doctor about that, please. If you've never really exercised before, if you're middle age and beyond, I mean, beyond walking outside or on a treadmill, check in, make sure everything's good, make sure your blood pressure is okay before you embark on a strength training program, for example. Make sure everything's all right, and then start. Exercise is good for everybody, but I want you to be safe. Now, another very important component of good health, and I know I've talked about it here, but it merits mentioning again, because over and over, I see patients and clients who are doing their workout at the gym, getting up early, going to the gym, eating the best, cleanest diet possible, all of that. But then they tell me that, you know, they're working very long hours, they're on call, this and that. They don't get to check their email until late at night, and they're averaging maybe 4 or 5 hours sleep. That's not good, folks. It's not good for your health. It will age you. When we don't sleep enough, we get circulating stress hormones like cortisol. It will age you. It will thin your skin. It will thin your hair. It will thin your bones. You don't want that. And it will pack on belly fat. Belly and butt fat in particular is what cortisol tends to do. You want to be sure that you're getting ample sleep. And I want to talk to you now about why we need ample sleep. We need melatonin. And this is coming to you from the Personalized Lifestyle Medicine Institute. This is Dr. Jeffrey Bland's work. If vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin, we know that it is, right? Then melatonin might be thought of as the moon phase nutrient, as its secretion by the body is dependent upon how much continuous, complete, and uninterrupted dark you receive during your sleep period. Having a distinct day versus night variation in melatonin secretion is even thought by some to be one determinant of successful aging. This pineal hormone is the final product of conversion of tryptophan to 5-hydroxytryptophan to serotonin. You know how important serotonin is, which then converts to acetylserotonin, culminating in a very active indolamine. N-acetyl-5-methoxytryptamine, aka melatonin. So, the pineal hormone is the final product of conversion of tryptophan to 5-hydroxytryptophan to serotonin, and then finally melatonin. Considerable amounts, are synthesized in the intestines where it influences gut motility and can also be made by the skin, bone marrow, thymus, mitochondria, salivary glands, immune cells, and in other tissues where it may help control the redox environment. That's oxidation reduction. It is also found in breast milk. Early in evolution, melatonin may have originated in bacteria, and levels of mitochondria, which may incidentally have started as bacteria, that's a whole other conversation, are particularly high. It's found in many plants, including feverfew, skullcap, algae, cherries, ginger, corn, onion, barley, walnut, oat, pomegranate, and apple. Some may think of melatonin as merely a dietary supplement, but it is a true hormone involved in high-level, long-term regulation of higher functions like sexual maturation, epigenetic events, seasonal immune balance, chronobiology of other hormones, and some cellular aging processes. And for this reason, it is recommendable to be aware of common lifestyle impacts on the body's production of melatonin. Most important, receiving sufficient but not excessive light followed by sufficient dark is paramount for normal secretion. Light inhibits while dark induces pineal secretion in a strategic daily rhythm. The pineal gland is responsible for secreting melatonin, and we need this light-dark rhythm, the circadian rhythm. Exposure to artificial light at night, particularly blue light, and where do we get that blue light? From our computer screens, our tablets, our phones. Exposure to artificial light at night, particularly blue light, may especially disrupt secretion. Caffeine may lower natural secretion. And meditating at night may increase circulating levels. Those of you who are caffeine lovers, try to not have any after noon or after 2. It can impact the amount of melatonin secreted by your pineal gland. So, well known for helping adjust sleep-wake rhythms and improving sleep efficiency in children as well as adults, melatonin can temporarily lower alertness, body temperature, and blood pressure after supplementation, which is what you need for sleep. You don't want to be so alert, right? You don't want to be energized. Your body temperature gets lowered because we go into that mini hibernation every night that keeps us sleeping. Our core temperature goes down a degree or two. And blood pressure should go down. A common theme in preclinical studies on melatonin is its prominence in coordinating healing, managing the stress response after injury, and transitioning through the phases of the life cycle, all of which, after all, may best be cultivated during sleep. Melatonin works in the watery milieu within cells as well as their fatty membranes, and it easily enters cell nuclei and mitochondria and passes through the placental and blood-brain barriers. As one of the body's more powerful and ubiquitous antioxidants, it has considerable capacity to improve cells' redox status and thereby influence whether they are able to perform autophagy. What is autophagy? It's cellular housekeeping and the recycling of damaged structures, which is deeply affected by lifestyle. So it is necessary, and one of the most powerful antioxidants, melatonin, is to optimize cellular function and all of that. Melatonin also helps regulate gene expression of sirtuins and other factors in the cell life and death signaling network that help mediate the progress of health and disease over time. Interestingly, melatonin may act differentially in cancer cells' mitochondria to encourage apoptosis. Apoptosis is cell death. So melatonin may act differentially in cancer cells' mitochondria to encourage cell death, the death of the cancer cell, and reduced pineal melatonin production with biological aging may partially explain the heightened risk of cancer with age, right? Risk factor for cancer is getting older. It's one of the risk factors, besides a poor lifestyle, poor diet, not getting enough sleep, drinking too much, all of that, being nutrient deficient, smoking, right? A few other interesting findings regarding melatonin. It is a factor influencing stem cell proliferation, migration, differentiation, and reprogramming. It is involved in energy metabolism at multiple levels with regard to insulin sensitivity, brown fat activation. Brown fat is metabolically active fat. You want brown fat because it burns well and it keeps you warm. It's involved in eating habits, and modern lighting can block these and encourage obesity. Melatonin is involved in all of these. In wide-ranging preclinical research, it's shown numerous epigenetic, immune, and redox-related effects on cancer mechanisms. Preliminary research suggests that it may help preserve telomere length during aging, although more studies are needed to take a more critical look at this. It appears to modulate pain perception in humans. In healthy young men, it enhanced an aspect of functional memory under stressful conditions, apparently separate from effects on the stress response. It may help control autophagy in the central nervous system. Again, that's house cleaning, cellular house cleaning in the central nervous system in injury, toxin exposure, or aging. And early research suggests it could, in some circumstances, upregulate BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. That's the healthy stuff for your brain. That's the stuff that prevents dementia. So endogenous, meaning your own pineal gland secretion of, or supplemental melatonin, you know, the pill you take at bedtime, may modulate the oral inflammatory response. In healthy men, it advanced heart rate variability, timing, and in aged men, it had an early hour hypotensive effect, helped to lower blood pressure. These may indicate benefit against morning heart events, although confirmation is still needed on this. It may affect liver enzyme test results. Some melatonin receptor gene variants appear to increase risk for diabetes. That's interesting. In the microbiomes of obese mice, it increased gut abundance of metabolically desirable acromantia and reduced the ratio, acromantia is a bacteria, and reduced the ratio between Firmicutes and Bacteroidetes, phylum members. Hair follicles and skin cells express receptors for melatonin. As melatonin may interact with or alter metabolism of many common medications, even in paradoxical ways, as is the case of blood pressure drugs, and change levels of other hormones in the body, it is recommendable to consult with a knowledgeable healthcare practitioner before taking this highly active hormone. Important stuff, right? Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey Bland for any of you who haven't checked out. Check out his Personalized Lifestyle Medicine Institute. Put it in your search engine, Personalized Lifestyle Medicine Institute. And Dr. Jeffrey Bland. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource about a closer look at the biochemistry of nutrition, its mechanism of action of the various micronutrients, and trace minerals and important hormones like vitamin D and of melatonin, which I described to you today. Puts it together beautifully. So beware that sleep is as important as the fresh and clean food you eat, the organic food you eat, the fresh and clean pure water you drink, the sunshine you get, the healthy exercise you get, surrounding yourself with good healthy relationships, removing or withdrawing from toxic relationships. These are all critical for good health, having good social support, and getting enough sleep. This is tremendously important. I wish you a very happy, festive, joyous, and healthy new year. Thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.